Welcome to Hellas Intrigue. This is Jason Leisure from the Chicago Sun-Times. Mark Potash is joining me today, and it is week one for the Bears. We're going to get into Caleb Williams' NFL debut. A lot of new players for the Bears, how the schedule sets up for them here in the first half of the season, and much more on Hellas Intrigue. Mark, it's finally here, and it feels like it's been a long, long time. It depends what your point of reference is, I guess, for how long you've been waiting for Caleb Williams. Officially, they drafted him in late April. Unofficially, people were certainly waiting for him back in January when the season ended, maybe even before, as he's winning the Heisman at USC, and Justin Fields is struggling as a passer. The new era is about to begin Sunday at Soldier Field against the Titans. And it's a broad question, but as you look at Caleb Williams stepping into the role, what are you most interested to see in his game on Sunday?
Well, first of all, it's funny you framed it like that, because I was just saying this week that if we had known this Caleb Williams a year ago, we would have had Justin Fields out the door, like, from the beginning of the season. Because he, by then, he just looks like a, I guess my impression is he just looks like the theme of this whole process is what an upgrade he is. No offense to Justin Fields, but what a big upgrade, and that's created a lot of anticipation. What I'm looking forward to seeing is I want to see the Bears plan go according to plan, which is not put too much on the quarterback, which I think is really key early for anybody, even Tom Brady. Didn't have a lot on him in the beginning years in New England, and then he took over in the latter stages. And then also, I think what Caleb said, be special in the moments when it's time to be special. And I think if you find that balance, I think that's you have a quarterback the Bears have not had. Jay Cutler wasn't that way. Mitch Trubisky wasn't that way, and Justin Fields was not that way. So what I'm looking for is to see if their plan, everything I think we've seen from Caleb Williams, I think has been, you know, on pace, and I think so. I'm just waiting. I just want to see that this works according to their plan, and it's not this clunky, herky jerky, drop snap, fumble, sack, fumble, you know, that we've seen so often. I guess I just want to see a competent plan that goes according to plan.
You say, you know, you talk about their plan. Their plan's been good.
Yes.
This is the
That's
most.
My point. Yeah.
You can't know how things are going to turn out, but to this point, the Bears' plan has been everything you wanted them to do. It has been such a better plan than they had for the last two guys in this position, Justin Fields,
yes,
which was so disjointed and chaotic. That was like reasonably prudent compared to what they did with Mitch Trubisky, where you have the coach and the GM aren't even communicating about the draft leading up to. I mean, just such a sound plan, such a well-run operation, bringing him in all the way down to the details, Mark, of getting rid of Justin Fields no matter how little you got in return.
Yes.
If they had not gotten that offer, they end up taking the sixth round pick from the Steelers, the conditional sixth. If they had not gotten any offer for Justin Fields, they would have cut him, because they would not have muddied the water for Caleb Williams. They wanted to get everything right and do everything right. And I think that's something that I come back to with him. I don't know if he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be somewhere in the middle, if he's going to be a big let. I don't know where he's headed from here. But I do know that to this point, you're looking at a guy who has checked every possible box as far as being ready for what he's stepping into on the field and off the field. You're talking about someone who set his eyes on this at age 9, and I bet a lot of 9-year-olds do.
Right.
Caleb Williams had the drive and the resources through his parents to actually do this, and then the very good timing, beneficial timing for him to be a star in college football at a time when the NIL and the marketing and the fame was at an all-time high. So this is a guy who has been training as a quarterback since seriously and intensely, much in the way that Tiger Woods trained as a kid to become a golf superstar, and then also has already been through a lot of the fame and pressure at USC and as a major college star and in Dr. Pepper commercials and whatever else. When you talk about his actual game, I see a couple of things here that I'm looking forward to seeing in an actual NFL setting, in a live action. One, Caleb Williams in practice and in preseason games to this point, a better passer in so many ways than Justin Fields was last season, year three. Caleb Williams senses the pocket better. Caleb Williams steps up in the pocket, fighting those instincts to run further back or immediately kick out to the side. Caleb Williams reads coverage better, goes through his progressions quicker. If you think back, Mark, to the touchdown run that he had against the Bengals,
yes.
If you watch his face on that play, there's at least four different times he looks to throw before he finally just says, okay, I'm running. He is constantly looking downfield. And in the NFL, when windows close so fast, you cannot take your eyes off your downfield receivers. I also think you're going to see a mixed bag performance-wise from him, especially early. Like, there are going to be mistakes. He talked about this Wednesday of this week. There are going to be savvy, experienced defensive players that will trick you. Now, we saw players doing that early last season to Justin Fields in year three. That's more of a problem. Caleb Williams can't anticipate the tricks and things that are going to happen. But when Justin Fields threw interceptions or had turnovers, fumbles, they were killers for the Bears' offense because Justin Fields is out there throwing for 160 yards,
yes.
Maybe a touchdown, maybe not. Guys like Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, they throw interceptions.
Right.
Dak Prescott actually doesn't throw interceptions, bad example. But those guys throw interceptions, but they make up for it because they're throwing more touchdowns than interceptions.
Yeah.
They're throwing for 300 yards. I mean, Justin Fields had so much trouble getting to 200 yards. I think that a mixed bag from Caleb Williams, even early on, is going to be more viable for them than those choppy performances were for Justin Fields.
I think that's the baseline for him, is that even if he's a disappointment, he'll be better than Trubisky or Fields ever were. I'm sticking to that. That would I really feel like even if he isn't as good as you think, he'll still be better than what they've had. He's just more prepared. You kind of illustrated it in many different ways. He's just more prepared for it. He's a better quarterback. I don't know how else to say it. Things I want to see, you know, I want to see him just take the open throw early, first down. I want to see him have a higher completion rate on first down and keep drives going, getting a better down and distance situations. I want to see him hit the open man late, which is key to the whole scrambling thing. Great scrambler who stays behind the line of scrimmage so he has the option to pass. I want to see him be an eraser. I want to see him make, like, Braxton Jones's one mistake. Avoid the rusher and turn that into a positive play, and make up for other people's mistakes. I think it's a big part of his role. That's what you expect out of him. Those are certain things I'm looking for, and I know there's going to be some issues, but just want to avoid those things that, like, you know, the sack fumbles and the crushing blows and the oh here we go again. I am not expecting that at all, and believe me, I am scarred by previous experience in many ways, and I'm really fairly positive about that they will not have that on Sunday. And part of it's because of the opponent they're playing. It's good timing all around. I say back to what you were saying earlier, I was thinking this. You talk about the timing and everything about Caleb Williams. When the Chicago Bears are the right place at the right time for a quarterback, that's saying something. And that's what this looks like. This looks like there's no better team that this guy could have gone to than the Chicago Bears. This would have been the last place almost any quarterback would have wanted to go to, and now here he is. So I agree. I think it's just a good overall setup, and just, you know, just kind of waiting to see what happens. Very excited to see what happens Sunday and see things that are different more than anything else.
It's true what you said, Mark. I mean, the thing that holds you back from totally buying into what's going on with the Bears right now is history.
Right.
The history, anybody's history of watching them over the last 40 years severely clouds what you're looking at now, and it gives you this hesitance to buy in. Ryan Poles is out here telling you it's not the same old Chicago Bears, and he is right to a point. If you look at who's running the Bears, it is different. Yeah. This organization has been remade over the last 2 years from Kevin Warren down to Ryan Poles. Caleb Williams is a totally different type of quarterback than they've had. There have been a lot of other changes in various departments in this building. I think that their process on hiring Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, was so much more sound than any they've had recently, any they've had in the last few years. They were so thorough. They interviewed so many candidates that you probably would have been pretty happy with and chose Shane Waldron over them.
Yes. Pete Carroll being fired is going to be one of those things. You talk about Lovie Smith winning that game.
Things just working
Davis
out
Mills
for
making yeah. that making that throw. And what there are many other things. But Pete Carroll getting fired and having Shane Waldron open for the Bears to get a more experienced coordinator for the second time around for Matt Eberflus than he had for the first. Those are all kind of circumstantial things that someday we may look back on and say, wow, look at all the things that had to go right for the Bears to get it right. But yeah, you think it's possible that could happen.
Ryan Pulse basically said that in an interview that I had with him over the past week, where he said everything has fallen into place better, as I expected, or better in this job, like it was meant to be. And he talked about the opportunity to the legacy that would go with being the yes. guy that fixes the Bears. And he, as he was talking about it, I immediately mentioned or thought of and then kind of blurted out that it's like Theo Epstein. And Poles was saying that, yeah, we talk, actually. I know Theo, and I reach out to him every now and then to talk about things.
Two completely different egos, by the way. Yes. That's what's interesting about Poles, yes. is he's a very unassuming guy. I mean, I'm sure he has an ego. We all do. But he's kind of been a very unassuming guy. For him to say that, talk about the legacy is important, him to be the guy who fixed the Bears, just like Theo Epstein is known as the guy who miracle, you know, fixed the Red Sox and fixed the Cubs, is, I think, is really interesting that it's such a calm guy, easygoing guy, still has that in him to think mm-hmm. that. I thought that was very telling. But like you say, yeah, they're two going for similar accomplishments, but frankly, I think two very different guys.
Yeah. In the perfect world for the Bears this season, in just a dream scenario, you are onboarding a generational talent at quarterback into an unprecedentedly good situation. You look at guys that are drafted, not just number one overall, but if you look at guys that are drafted maybe top 15 any given year, they are almost always coming into terrible situations. And in this case, Williams is coming into a team that was really pretty built out, really a team that should have been much closer to the playoffs last year. And I think probably would have been an odds-on favorite in Vegas to sneak into the playoffs this year, even with Justin Fields, because right. yeah. so much is built here. And in a less-than-ideal situation for them, a scenario here, Caleb Williams struggles a little bit, but you have enough to get to maybe 9 wins, yeah. 10 wins, because you know, you've built out your skill group. It's a skill group that almost any team in the league would trade places with the Bears on. The defense is very good. The defense thinks it's going to be a top 5 defense. I think top 10 is a little more realistic.
Yeah.
There's still an issue here, though, with the pass rush. And you have Montez Sweat, and I'm not sure what else you have after that. Yeah. And the Bears clearly feel the same way. You saw in Hard Knocks, they were trying to trade for Matt Judon, a Pro Bowl pass right. rusher from the Patriots. Couldn't get it done, didn't want to commit long-term, and didn't want to box themselves out financially, which is part of how they got into this good situation where yeah, they can take Keenan Allen 1 year, $24 million, because yeah. they haven't overspent and they haven't compromised their future assets and space. Asking Matt Eberflus to run a top 5 defense without a full pass rush, with only Montez Sweat really,
yeah.
is a big ask. I think that's the second most important position on your team is defensive end. And there's just a big drop-off from Sweat to the rest of what they have. Do you think that it is fair to put that on Matt Eberflus and say, yeah, that's not perfect. You don't have all 11 like you need. But if that's what you need is 11 stars on defense to coach a good defense, then you know, you're not
right.
really who you have right. built yourself to be. Is there enough there to say Matt Eberflus's coaching has to fill in the gap?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And a big fact, you know, when the Bears, or when Matt Eberflus blitzes as much as he did in the preseason, and I don't know if they were just trying to show stuff or whatever, but when they blitz really aggressively and kind of inventively, I think, a little bit, and then also make so many different acquisitions or attempts for acquisitions on the defensive line, That's tacit acknowledgement that they have an issue with their pass rush. So I think they know that. I think one big factor, frankly, is Jervon Dexter. I think, you know, the three technique has been, you know, kind of, you know, like I say, the motor of this offense. And that, I think that solves a lot of issues. When you get that kind of push in the middle, that kind of makes your defensive ends better. And it makes your pass rush better. And I think that's a big factor that's kind of an unknown. We haven't talked, I mean, we've talked about Dexter a lot, I guess, but I still feel like that hasn't been talked about enough, that that's going to be a big key to, in his third year, getting that right. Because, you know, it passed up Jalen Carter last year. Sure looks like the right move now, although it looks like a good move for the Eagles. It actually gave them an extra draft pick that they used. So I guess what I'm saying is I think it's something to watch. This is a really good defense, top 10. But you know something? They are. It's kind of thin. It's kind of paper thin a little bit because of where it is. And if you lose that pass rush, all of a sudden that back seven, the linebackers and your secondary, not as good. And then you've got a problem. It's a chain reaction. So
it'd be terribly counterproductive. That is an excellent, excellent back seven. And not just the starters, Mark, but you're looking at a roster when Ryan Poles took over at corner, let's just say, Jalen Johnson and a bunch of practice squad guys.
Right.
Now you have three legitimate frontline starters with Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and Tyreek Stevenson, and you have three backups that I think you could feel comfortable playing: Josh Blackwell, Terrell Smith, and Jalen Jones.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
And they're loaded at corner.
They are. They're very solid there. It's good makeup. Like, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, on a bad team, he's a liability because he just makes so many mistakes. You know, he gets burned. But as the second guy to Jalen Johnson, he's really good because his playmaking is really impressive. And so I just think the dynamic, the makeup of the team, of the secondary is good. The depth is good. But back to the original point, they still need a pass rush to really make it work. And I don't think they're so good that they can be your pass rush, you know, literally or figuratively. I mean, Brisker did lead them in sacks 2 years ago, but that was a negative. That was not a good thing for this defense. So it was a nice little thing for Brisker, but it wasn't really a good thing for the defense. So that's not going to make your defense if you don't have – you still need a pass rush. So I think that's the one thing that everyone's going to be looking at, especially in this first game, to see, you know, if that's going to be an issue or not. Because if it's not, then top five is – top ten is should be – the top five's possibility.
It's really interesting that you look at the roster and you look at the moves they've made. And this is not necessarily a criticism from me, because I think that Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham have applied the resources to the opportunities. I mean, if you want to fix one of their problems right now, if you want to say, well, they should have a defensive end. I mean, do you want to go back to 2023, keep that number one pick and draft Will Anderson? Now you don't have a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, there's different. Yeah. They have applied the resources when they've had them. You look back to that first draft where he took Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker in the second round. They didn't have a first round pick. Would have been number five overall. That's a pass rusher pick.
Right.
That's a place where you get a pass rusher. Not with a couple of second rounders and a third rounder.
Yeah.
They've applied the resources when they've had them. Nonetheless, it's interesting that you look at the roster rebuild, and the problems are kind of on the line of scrimmage. They're in the classic, right on the line of scrimmage, the trenches. Now, that being said, the Bears have a first-round pick and two second-round picks and a ton of cap space next year. I think that's like the next step for them to go from playoff team to potential Super Bowl contender.
Right.
If you look at this game this week, Mark, it's such a nondescript opener and debut for Caleb Williams. Home game against the Titans at noon, just a team that they rarely ever see. It's not the game I would have picked. If I was making the schedule in New York, I would have put next week's Sunday night game. Bears-Texans would have been a good pick for the opener. I might have even picked Bears and Commanders to put the top two quarterbacks against each other, knowing both of those guys would be starters. But I think it's a good first game for them, and this kind of tilts toward a bigger point of when you look at their schedule, I think it is very favorable to the Bears being in a situation where your rookie quarterback might need a little time to kind of get his footing. And if you look back to not an identical example, but a similar example with Jordan Love in his first season as a starter last year. Really, really not good the first half of the season, other than when the Bears made him look like, you know, an MVP. And then it clicked for him around mid-season, and he was dominant. If Caleb Williams, and I don't think that's that unusual of a trajectory for a rookie or a first-time starter. If Caleb Williams follows somewhat of the same path, I think the Bears' schedule with five of the seven worst teams from last year, including Tennessee, in the first half of their schedule, I think it sets up in a way that they can get by while he's trying to figure it out. And then theoretically, he's good to go when you're when you're facing all your NFC North opponents, the 49ers and the Seahawks.
That's the way it looks right now. And with regard to the division opponents, that's the way we'll stay. But I got to say, you always got to wait and see what happens. Things change so much in the NFL. We don't know.
The Vikings
might be an easy win by then. Who knows? Yeah. You know, the Commanders, if Jaden Daniels is good, maybe the Commanders are actually really good when they face them.
Right. Don't think that's possible, but C.J. Stroud just did it last year. So, that was a team everyone thought would have been a cakewalk.
Exactly. So you got to kind of wait and see, I think, a little bit, because I know there have been times where, you know, like in general, when the Bears looked like they had one of the easiest schedules, and it turned out they had one of the hardest because the team, you know, teams get better. Just like people expect them to be one of these teams. Every year, there's a certain number of teams that go from non-playoff team to playoff team. The Bears are like expected to be one of those teams. So there is there's so much volatility, I guess, that you don't know. But in general, you're right. This is perfect for them to kind of they could play poorly and still win some of these games, and then be good at the end to beat teams like the Lions and the Packers. When they're just better equipped to do it.
If we have a six person panel on the Sun Times picking the game, and all six took the Bears to win the opener against Tennessee, I think as of right now the Bears are a 4-point favorite.
Yes,
is that right? Rick Morrissey has the Bears 24-17. Rick Tellender has them winning 24-21. Scoop Jackson has them 31-16. Patrick Finley has them 20-9 over the Titans. I have them 23-17, as do you, Mark. We picked the exact same score.
Yes.
Are you going to want to hedge here and also kind of...
No, the Bears going to win this
game. Pick one thing in the paper and then kind of whisper into the podcast.
The Bears are going to... I don't like people who do that. So the Bears are going to win this game. And if they don't, I am wrong. That's all there is to it.
Let's look at the season predictions, too, because, again, everybody is very positive about the Bears. Our entire six-person panel has them over 500 this season.
Yeah.
Ranging from Rick Morrissey, Rick Tellender, and Patrick have them at 9-8 to I have them the highest at 11-6.
Yeah.
And then you and Scoop have them 10-7. Does that scare you?
No.
That everybody thinks
the Bears have a high floor. The Bears should not be any worse than 8-9 this year. I mean, they have a good team. Unless they have massive injuries, including one of the quarterback. If I was an out-of-towner looking at the Chicago Bears, or if there were some other team, not
if it was
from
in
Chicago,
a vacuum and you didn't have all the history.
No way this team is not under 500. I mean, I look at the team and the quarterback. I'd say, we're, like I said, scarred by history. But unless the Bears become, you know, do Bears things, that makes perfect sense to me, because their floor is very high. Their floor is eight wins, in my opinion. Unless they have massive injuries, then you're looking at, obviously, things are going to be different. But because they're a well built team. They should have a pretty good offense. They should have balance on offense, balance on defense, and balance within their whole team. Good offense, good defense. So this is a team that should be pretty close to 500 and probably above, pending on how the rest of the league shakes out. So I think those predictions are right on.
I think the roster's floor is 10-7. I think that if Caleb Williams can play about as well as Justin Fields did last year, I think they should still be a 10-win team. I think if he's great, if he has a C.J. Stroud-type rookie season, now you're talking maybe they're a 12-win team. I think that if they're not somewhere, and then I think that's about their ceiling, by the way. I don't think in the best, biggest, wildest dream are they a Super Bowl contender at all, because you look at those teams, you look at Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, San Francisco. There are still some things, even if Caleb Williams is excellent this year, like CJ Stroud was last year, there's still some things missing to get to that level. That would have to come next year. But I just think there's too much here for it to fail. And if it is not somewhere in that range of 10 to 12 wins, my first guess would be injuries, and my second guess would be Matt Eberflus problems.
Yeah, that could be. Those are the two big unknowns, right? We really don't know what Matt Eberflus is as a head coach. We know he's a pretty good defensive coordinator, but he's got to, you know, I think he's going to be fine. I don't think that he will be an issue this year. I'll say that right now. I think he's perfectly equipped to handle a good team, a winning team. Will he make the right moves at the end of games? You know, I think they have, if they're good, I think the quarterback makes a lot of those decisions. You know, we've seen that Caleb Williams is the guy who can make you look like a genius. He can make you look smart. He can make you look good. And if he's that kind of quarterback, then I don't think Matt Eberflus might not be Andy Reid or whatever, but I still think he's a good head coach to manage a winning team. And I say manage, I mean manage a winning team, which is handling success, handling egos that come with success, and keeping that's when the culture becomes a factor, when you win. When you lose, culture, leadership, I think it's overrated on bad teams. On good teams, it's a factor in keeping things going and keeping all the egos in check. And I think Eberflus is very good at that. I think he will be very good at that. So I'll be honest, to that point, I don't see Matt Eberflus as a drag. I think when he becomes a drag is when you make the playoffs a couple of years and don't get as far as you need to do, like some other teams are seeing, and then you figure you need someone who needs to get you to point C. I think that'll be an issue. Injuries, you know, if it's Caleb, then you're cursed.
We'll bleep that out. You can't say that. You can't even mention.
There's other injuries that could affect them. But yeah, no, I think like I said, I think they have a high floor. I will say this. I think they actually have a quarterback where anything is possible. I was telling somebody just the other day, leaving the building, that if it weren't for being scarred so much by so many disappointments, I would be totally on board with Caleb Williams as a guy who at least could take you to wherever you want to go. I think he's that good. I think he's that well built for the position. That's the important thing. He's got the skills. I wrote about this today in the paper, but he's just got an ability to think clearly in awkward or difficult times that make me believe that in crunch time he will have the clearer head. When everyone else is losing theirs, he will keep his. And I think he'll be that guy. So I guess my point was, when you say you don't see them being a Super Bowl contender, yeah, right now I don't. All I'm saying is I think they have a quarterback who could make that, who could make anything possible. So I'm not saying they're gonna be there. All I'm saying is I don't think you really put a limit on this, because they have the quarterback and the people around him. I mean, there's a multiplier effect to a guy like him, where he just makes mediocre players good, good players great. And like I said, we talked about this before, about that, you know, that left tackle, you know, who, you know, maybe makes one or two mistakes a game. Well, in the past, that's been a killer, because it gets the quarterback killed. If he skips away and turns that into a big play, now that takes your left tackle's bad play out of the way. Now all you got is the good. Now he's all of a sudden a good. Now you don't notice it. Now all of a sudden he's a good player because you have a really good quarterback. Right. He's the same exact guy as the guy you had before, Charles Leno or whatever, but he's looked at as he's going to make the Pro Bowl, like, you know, like players have, because his quarterback is really good. And I think that Caleb Williams has that. That's a multiplier. That's better than a multiplier. That's an eraser. And that's what a really good quarterback can do. And all I'm saying is, I think he, as opposed to Trubisky and Fields in particular, just has that ability that they did not.
It would be something that I haven't seen in my lifetime growing up here. I don't know about you or other people that are older than me, but to imagine being in a situation where you're just waiting and waiting and waiting on the edge of your seat to see what Caleb Williams is going to do at the end of a game. The way you do with Aaron Rodgers, the way you did with Tom Brady, the way you do with Patrick Mahomes, where even if they're struggling, you're just waiting and wait. Like, at some point, you know something is going to happen. And I know that this is like kind of a silly example to bring up, but it felt like that for me in that preseason game against Cincinnati when they were struggling. I kept thinking if they leave him in, something is going to happen. And something did happen. You see him make a throw that neither of the last two guys that were here could have made. And you see him get the offense in the end zone. I think that we are all in Chicago carrying the baggage of what we've seen with the Bears, because the guys, Mark, that are not hesitant, the guys that are not skeptical, are the guys that are not scarred. Go around this locker room and talk to guys on and off the record about Caleb Williams. They are giddy. They are like how kids are about the Bears, saying, oh, you can't believe what this guy does. It's amazing. This is going to be great. Like, there was no skepticism or fear in that locker room about what he's going to be. It's really exciting. I think, for me, I feel like I've been waiting to see this for close to a year. I think it was pretty early last year that this felt like the right call as far as moving on from Justin Fields. It later clarified that Caleb Williams was going to be the guy. The Bears had grades on high enough grades on enough guys that they would have moved from Justin Fields, I think, even if they were picking 10th
this past year. I did not think that at the time, but that is true. We know that now, that they were it was going to be at least a competition.
Yeah.
No matter what. So
the anticipation is just built up. They have put the right pieces in place, and everything has looked right to now. We don't know where it goes from here. We're about to find out. It's going to be really interesting to watch this season kick off and to watch Caleb Williams' career kick off. We'll be back with you Sunday after the game. Thanks to Mark Potash, and thanks to all of you guys for listening to Hallis Intrigue. We'll see you Sunday.